Hello and welcome to episode 12.
This is Kiss and Tell, a couple's podcast of love, life, business and growth with your hosts, Nick and Viola Hug Taylor.
We're here to create more meaningful conversations and relationships in every area of your life, starting with yourself and your loved ones. We believe everyone deserves to live a joy-filled life that is abundant in all areas, and we understand that growth and success are not a solo act.
We're excited to be here with you, offering you insights from what we have learned within our relationship, as well as having some amazing chats with other couples in love or business, giving you actionable steps, mindset shifts, and personal growth that will support you in creating the best relationships you've ever had, working on living a truly heart-centered, conscious, and meaningful life. Hello, everybody.
Did you guess who I was?
Yes, who are you last night?
Did you guess it?
Yes.
Did you guess?
It's you.
Did you guess it, though?
Yeah.
Stop. I'm sore. Greetings.
Hello, everyone.
That's just Phoebe being very silly. You know, I'm the serious one in the relationship, and she's the crazy one. It's definitely not the other way around.
I don't know if anybody that's met me would call me serious, but okay. I think because you're so extremely crazy, I might look more serious compared to you at times.
Okay.
But then, again...
Now I'm the serious one.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Anyway, we were having a really awesome conversation today with some friends, and we thought it was the perfect thing to talk about with you guys, because...
We have friends.
Yeah, we do have friends, yeah. Like, one, anyway.
Yeah.
Shout out to you, Maggie. Woo! Anyway, we were talking about... one of the phenomenons, is that a word?
Phenomenas. Good though.
Yeah.
Good attempt.
Yeah, that I noticed, just in life in general, and particularly when you start exploring things like your spirituality more. I know that like a few years ago, Nick and I, we managed to get into a much better routine with things like meditation, and I don't know, just exploring that side of ourselves a little bit more. And when you get into that community, you notice that there's quite a lot of people who talk about living in the present moment, and that's a great thing. Like, don't get me wrong, living in the present is so important, and you know, there's no point in being stuck in the past for the future, because then how can you ever really enjoy where you're at? But I noticed definitely in India, and particularly I think with the tourists that were in India, not everyone, but you definitely met them who were really focused on, you know, life was all about being in the moment, and they're
there on like a spiritual journey or whatever, you know, yeah. Finding themselves.
And that's beautiful, like so awesome. But particularly I saw a lot of people talking about, you know, really the purpose was just to be in the moment. And it came up during the yoga course a bit as well, you know, like I guess a lot of the yoga philosophy teaches that the aim or the outcome that we're aiming for is union with the divine or something along those lines. And you get there through meditation and living in the presence and all that kind of stuff. And it was just this big...
And that's one thing I actually didn't know was that you told me. That yoga, the whole practice of yoga is to like set your body up to be able to meditate properly. I didn't know that.
Yeah, the physical practice is actually to help us to sit in meditation for longer, but yoga doesn't actually refer to just a physical practice. It actually talks about an eight-limb system. Anyway, that can be another podcast if you're interested in that.
Anyway.
Or just come talk to me about it, because it will probably be a lot more interesting than all of our non-yoga listeners. but yeah, so we talked about... that was a big debate that came up a lot, you know, what does it really mean to achieve it, and how do you really achieve it? Like, what does your life look like when you achieve that union and everything? And it really got me thinking, because deep down in my soul, and this is just my personal opinion, my own view on it, and who knows, that might develop to something different in the future, but I see that, like, you know, we are here for more than just ourselves. Yes, we're here to grow ourselves and to enjoy our experience on Earth, but I believe that our soul is not truly fulfilled until we can help other people, you know, do something for other people that where they can't repay you, or they can't return the favor, almost thing, like almost as in like leaving a legacy, so to speak, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Oh, can't really repay you if you're dead.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think another thing along those lines as well is
I think, like, it's all well and good to, you know, to focus on the now. But I also think that people are, they're so forceful with the idea of not, you know, not looking into the past and not looking into the future and, you know, really being in the now. But I think the main thing is to not look into the past and really dwell on mistakes that have already happened or things that have already done and we have absolutely no control over.
And don't base, like, future possibilities on past experiences.
And past because results.
Because how it's happened in the past does not mean how it will turn out in the future because you're different than you were then, you know?
And I also think that a lot of people look into the future and, you know, they're wanting to act more in the now because they're actually worried about the future or they're scared of what's going to happen. Whereas if you're excited or, you know, if you're really positive about things that are going to happen in the future, that's only going to add to how good things are now. And having those goals and, you know, having those positive envisions for yourself and your life further on down the track.
Absolutely. And that comes back to the whole concept as well of being so, so grateful for what you have.
Oh, yeah. Like, anyone, unless you're the 7,500,000th person. Whoa, that was bad. 7,500,000,000th person on Earth. And you're the absolute worst case out of all of the humans. Then you can complain. But every single other person at least has something minuscule to be grateful about. It doesn't matter whether it's literally I'm alive today or oh my god there's air for me to breathe, like just the simple act of being grateful for what we already have is
if you're listening
so
to this
powerful.
Podcast you definitely have things to be grateful for, let's put it this way.
On that same topic, be grateful for what you have but never ever ever stop wanting more for yourself. So I think there's this fine balance of, you know, being really happy with what you have but also I guess being real enough with yourself that you really want more for your life. Like, I don't know. I don't really know anyone my age who you could say, look, if you lived this exact same year, every single year for the next 60 years, would you get to the end of that 60th year and be like, oh man, that was a good 60 years well spent? Or would they, you know, things would turn monotonous? Would you get bored of the same repetition? You know, like, everyone is always wanting the future to get better. But it's only really going to if we do have some sort of focus
in that
direction.
That reminds me of this Robin Sharma. What's his name?
Robin Sharma?
Yeah, Robin Sharma. It reminds me of a quote from him. He says, don't live the same year 75 times and call it a life.
Yeah.
Because it is so true. It's like, it's so easy to fall into the routine of things. And we actually had a really awesome business presentation the other week where we are just sharing a little bit about what we do and, you know, a little bit more about how people can create a business around their lifestyle to help them with their goals in the future. And one of the topics that came up was, you know, if you work in a job, it's pretty clear what your future is going to look like. You know, yes, there might be small changes, but
there's some degree of certainty, you know, how things are going to end up.
Yeah, there's some degree of certainty. You know, you're going to work like 50 to 52 weeks of the year. You're going to have your 2 to 4 weeks holiday. You might, you know, holiday somewhere within the country or every now and then you might make it out of the country. You might buy a house or two, you know, but by the time, if all goes well with your health, you know, and you have no complications there, by the time you reach 65, you're going to have worked this long, you might have got this percent increase in your income by then.
Hopefully you have some savings to fall back on to retire with.
And you've had 2 to 4 weeks of holiday a year. And for me, I mean, I just know that scares me a little bit. Like, yep, there's somewhat certainty in there, and that's not even including all of the factors of the volatile economy that we live in when it comes to jobs. Like, no one has job security more, but
and just
health,
I guess,
as well.
going looking forward again, at the way that the economy is going, like 9 to 5 is going to be something that's not really heard of in 10 years time. Like, our generation are going to be a generation where we're going to be forced into entrepreneurship. Yes, there might be some global living wage where everyone gets a, you know, an amount to be able to live a basic life off, because robots have taken all our jobs and automation has, you know, reduced the amount of people that need to actually work. But above and beyond that, we're going to be forced into entrepreneurship to create wealth for ourselves. Like, it's not going to be feasible to work a 9 to 5 or, you know, a 40-hour work week anymore and create a good income off.
Yeah, as they say, safe is the new risky these days. But just going back to the point that I was trying to make, it's like, yep, so there is like, you know, you have a pretty good idea of what it's going to turn out. But the magic is that, you know, if you decide to do something a little bit different and you decide, you know, hey, you know what, I want more for myself than that. I want to be able to holiday all year if I decide to 1 year. And, you know, if my family members get sick, I want to be able to spend time with them. And, you know, I want to have the best health. I don't want to just be hanging on by a thread with my health. I want to be vibrant when I'm older. And
I don't want to have to whip my kid off to daycare because I have to, like, maybe if I get bored of them or, you know, like I need a bit of a break, then sure. But
and it's like, yep. All of those, like, if you want something above the average of what other people are having, you can have that for yourself. But it starts with knowing that where you are is a good place. Like, you should be so grateful for what you have, but you actually deserve more, and you need to give yourself permission to have more and to have success. And that actually, you have to, in that sense, have a little bit more of a desire outside of yourself for that.
One thing I learned, and Gary V's talked about it a wee bit, you know, some of the people that, and Gary Vaynerchuk's a guy who's worth, you know, a few billion now, or at least in the, you know, hundreds of millions. He's a guy who's incredibly successful, very, very happy person, you know, very, very happy and proud of where he is in his life. And he knows people who are just as happy earning $80,000 a year in a job, because literally that's, you know, that's what they're grateful for, and that's what's really made them happy with their life. And so it's not really, we're not saying, you know, you don't have to quit work and become successful in business to be happy. But it's just, you know, if you're not happy where you are and you're looking at people who have success in areas where you are, chances are they're not getting that through what the vast majority of people are doing, which is working as an employee.
Mm.
You know, the average employee is not going to be happy with the amount of freedom they get, with the amount of income they get paid for the time or the value they feel they give to the company or to their bosses or to their place of employment. You know, like, if you look at all of the people who you believe are successful in the world, no matter what area it's in, it could be family, it could be in sports, it could be in wealth, chances are they're doing something drastically different than the 95-98% of us. So I guess for us to want total freedom, total wealth, optimal health, we actually have to be doing something against the grain and a little bit off the beaten path, which, like V said, you know, that thinking of heading down that path is scary just in itself without even having to go and do anything.
Mm.
But it's going to be a lot scarier in 20 years' time where there's literally no jobs. And that's one thing that scared me as a pilot, was looking forward. As soon as automation starts to take over, you know, pilots who are incredibly qualified and very, very good at what they do are going to be eliminated from the workforce and have not really any other transferable skills to carry over into things that are going to be relevant. Same thing with people going into technology degrees at the moment through university. Literally what they're being taught in 4 years' time is going to be outdated. They're literally going into technology degrees for, you know, education, but no real skills or anything really relevant by the time they graduate. It is crazy.
Yeah. And just to reiterate that point that we were making at the beginning about presence, it's like there's this whole world of things that you could do, you know. Like, I guess the point here is really that we've said it before, this world is limitless for you. Like, don't let anything hold you back. If you're living the same week you were last time you listened to this podcast and we said this, you know, change something if you want to.
The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Mm. Yeah. And you see people complain about their life situation all the time who don't ever go and do anything about it. And they're so frustrated why things aren't changing and why life isn't getting any better. But they're literally repeating the exact same processes, which are going to inevitably lead to the exact same results, and they don't really know why.
Yeah, and then talking about this fulfillment that people have, it's like, I mean, I when I was in India, I met a lot of people who feel really fulfilled and happy, and what they're doing is this soul journey, right? So they're on this journey where they're maybe traveling the world, they're really living in the moment, they're just doing what they want to do, and they're kind of like on their own schedule and loving life. And the girl that I was speaking with earlier today, she was saying, that, you know, she was wondering for herself, is that something that she can see herself doing, like, long term? And yep, it's something that's really great. But then that's how the conversation started, that true fulfillment comes in sharing it. And it's like, if you were able to find fulfillment and happiness through doing that, then that's great. But there will come a time when, like, our soul will feel fulfilled once we are able to share that with other people. So that's where true joy and success and happiness comes from, is not only being able to find how to create peace and solitude for yourself in this crazy busy world, but then teaching other people how to do that as well.
And just, I think, just adding genuine value to other people's lives without, like we and I said earlier, without any sort of expectation for return.
Yeah.
So the company that we partnered in business with, Usana, they had a, it was like a, it's not an incentive or anything. They just, you know, urged people last week to go and do something in the community, do something for people who are slightly, you know, less well off
than we are. Find a way to give, right, to serve.
And so they called it Usana Service Week. And part of that every year, they send a group of, business partners to somewhere in the world. And this time there was a group of about 24 people went to Uganda, and they did things like, you know, helping out in schools and, you know, supplying basic food and aid and healthcare and basic needs to people who are really living in that bottom, you know, 1%. Of absolute poverty.
The way your heart swells when you do something like that for someone else. I mean, we've all experienced giving at some point in our lives, right? It's just so awesome.
There was this video that they made, and it was just so emotional of, you know, these people who have some really, really great lives and are really, really happy with where they are. And I think there's this beautiful thing that happens when you go and do something like that selflessly. So there's people going to, you know, some of the worst conditions, living conditions in the world, and genuinely giving some of their time, their income, their knowledge and their love to these people who so deeply need it. And like I was watching one of these videos, you know, I had tears in my eyes, absolutely. And this beautiful thing happens where you give these things away, whether it's a donation of your love or your income or your time or, you know, your services to these people. And you see in them how grateful they are for someone to come along and do that. But even though you're giving these things away, it gives you so much more in return. Mm. And I don't know, there's something so beautiful about it.
We can link that video too, so look in the description.
Yeah, we'll do that. It's so cool.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of revolves around that whole, you know, like living in the now. Yeah, live in the now. And also in the now, find ways to give back to others and add value to other people's lives. Because you don't need to be perfect before you start giving back. Like,
oh, yeah.
And people are saying, oh, you know, when I make a bit more money, then I'll give to charity. It's like, you don't need money to give value to others.
What's that quote? It's like, if you have nothing left to give, I can't remember, but it's something about, like, giving a smile to someone else and then, you know.
Yeah, even simple like thing like that.
It is, and that's what I mean. It's
I don't know how we got on that topic, but it just reminded me when you were talking
before. But, yeah, you don't need to, like, giving and creating that fulfillment for your soul and sharing and all that kind of stuff doesn't have to be, like, you have to be a world speaker or, like, start a podcast or anything where you're sharing this information with people. But it can be something as simple as literally, like, smiling at someone, holding the door open for them. It's like, you know, creating a life that's more meaningful than just for yourself.
Mm.
And I think, like, with this presence talk, it is also, like, a little bit complicated because it's hard to put into words, I think. And I mean, I hope you guys are at least, like, on a similar page. We're not saying that living in the presence is not a good thing, because it is. It's so important to be in the present. But what I saw a lot is people assuming that living in the presence mean you don't plan for the future, you don't have goals, you don't, you know, you just go on living yourself, like, for yourself in your own little bubble. But it's not really about that. It's about being able to, no matter where you are, be grateful and appreciate the moment and not just be future tripping all the time or hung up on the past, but still have vision for yourself, still, you know, have that drive to do more than, you know, do something more than just for yourself in this life. And not everybody's path is going to be fully aligned with that. But I know that there's a huge majority of people who have that feeling inside of them that they have something to give. And I honestly believe everybody has something to give this world. It's all different and it looks different, but everybody has something unique and nobody else can replace that. So it's up to you to figure that out and start sharing it with other people.
Yeah.
That can be being as kind as you can, you know, just being a kind person in the world.
Even stuff as simple as, like, you know, when we go to the supermarket, you know, we'll make a conscious effort to go through the human checkout rather than the computer checkout. You know, not all the time, but if you go through and you take just an extra minute going through the checkout at the supermarket to go through a person instead, and you take a note of their name tag, and, you know, their name might be Julie. And
well, like, the sweetest sound to anybody is the sound of their own name.
Yeah, for sure. Unless they hate their name, but
still,
go change it. But still, you go down this checkout and you're like, oh, hi, Julie, how are you doing today? Like, and, you know, just start a conversation with this person who has probably just seen people rushing in, rushing out, not really taking any notice whatsoever
and
about
sometimes
who they are or how they are. And you just see someone's face light up when you're like, you know, how's your day going? Thank you so much for your service. You were great. Like, they're just like, oh, someone noticed me as a person and it makes them feel better. And then chances are they might go carry that on somewhere else in their day.
Yeah, exactly. And the funniest thing about it is that so many people are just so busy and so rushing and just trying to, like, you know, they're so in their own world and they go through this, everybody's going through the self-checkout. And it's really funny because sometimes when we're at the supermarket, there's like a line of people waiting for the self-checkout and there's like three checkout operators just waiting for somebody to come to them.
Excuse me, anyone?
and so sometimes it's even quicker going through that, through like a checkout operator these days, which is quite funny. But yeah, I love, it's like an old proverb or something, but it said, and you'll find like true fulfillment when you plant a shade tree that you will never sit under. And it's because what we do on this earth isn't just for us, you know, like, yeah, we might enjoy this now, but actually every action that we take during our time on earth is what the future generations will reap. So if we choose to treat our world poorly and
we're
litter,
we're currently seeing the effects of the last, you know, two or three generations' ignorance towards
the environment.
The environment, you know, food quality, you know, the economy. Like, there's just been a only think about the now. What's going to save the most amount of money now? What's going to create the most amount of production now?
I mean, in 30 to 40 years, I know like definitely New Zealand, I know other countries in the world are going to be affected by this as well, but the pension, you know, that's normally there for retirees isn't going to be available most likely by the time that most people my age retire.
If healthcare isn't focused at, on a more holistic perspective, then
it's going to be bankrupt.
We're not going to be able to provide, you know, public healthcare to people. It'll be a rich person's service.
Yeah, and so it's like, you know, like, it's all well and good to live your life and just do what you want kind of thing, but it's, but really, like, everything we do has such a massive impact on the future generations. And that's even just, like, you, if you're a good person, you spread good energy, that's going to soak its way through to the next generation.
It kind of reminds me of that saying. It's like, you die two times. The first time you die is when your last breath leaves your body. But then the second time you die is when the last person utters your name for the last time. And it's how you live your life and the choices that you make now and what you decide to do with your life that determines the distance or the magnitude of time between those, you know, those two deaths.
And it's also the same with, you know, you're born twice. One's when you enter the physical world and the day that you find out why.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, and I do think that if you, you know, you're born into this world and you allow yourself to have that vulnerability and be a little bit different and open yourself up and discover why you were born and have your second birth, like, you will, the time between when you die and when you're forgotten are it will be much bigger.
It's like, if you guys Google search screw finding your passion, there's a really, really cool article, and it's like, you shouldn't have to go out and actively think about, oh, you know, what am I passionate about? It's like, deep down, you already know. It's almost like you've been, you know, born with this purpose that, or something that is so strong inside you that you know you just need to go and do that you don't really have to think about, but a lot of people haven't uncovered or figured out what that is yet.
And I think it's because also a lot of people always expect it to be this big, like,
epiphany.
Oh,
yeah.
Or, like, I'm passionate about, like, blah. And, like, a lot of people say to me, like, oh, I'm really glad you found your passion, like, depending on what kind of, like, for example, I could be working with them in nutrition, they'd be like, oh, I'm so glad you found your passion. And then I could be working with them in my business, and they're like, oh, yeah, you're clearly passionate about it. And I do have passion for things that I work with. I'm a passionate person. I'm multi-passionate. Like, I can find a rock and get passionate about it. Like, and
I actually think I've actually seen you get passionate about a rock before.
Well, if we're talking about crystals, like,
oh god, don't start.
I just get excited about life. Like, I just am excitable about things, and so I get passionate about things. And but that in terms of, like, my life purpose is not to be passionate about my, like, networking business, or to be passionate about my nutrition, or, like, what's in food. Like, that's not what I'm passionate about. It's, like, it's seeing people's lives being impacted in a positive way. It's seeing somebody who thought that, you know, what they had is what they're going to get, realize that they're in control of their life outcome, and they shift the things that they do, and they start feeling that happiness. It's, like, seeing other people being fulfilled in their lives is part of what fulfills me.
Yeah.
And so it's, like, so I can find, like, 20,000 different avenues to be able to create that feeling within me. Which is awesome, you know, and I would have years ago never been able to identify it as clearly as I can now, but it's because
we're so taught that, you know, a square size peg has to fit in a square size hole.
And
that's kind of the way we've been brought up and conditioned to think, is that, you know, like, you might be passionate about what V was saying about, like, something that seems as basic. My passion is impacting others' lives. Like, but there's so many different ways to do that, and there's no one thing that's, like, if you're like, I'm passionate about, you know, finances, it's like, okay, go and be an accountant. Like, that's the obvious, you know, route for that. There's nothing like that for what most people are passionate about, and most people are passionate about, you know, affecting others on some level.
Yeah, and then that's really interesting, because when I first started, even when I was a kid, you know, like, I loved when I could give something to somebody else, or, you know, when I went out for friends for coffee, like, I loved being able to
coffee.
Went out cool. for coffee with friends. Like,
were you a cannibal when you were a child? Oh.
I would love being able to shout them a coffee, you know, like, it was things like that, and it's because it just made me happy to give a little bit, and it's really small and significant things, but those are the kinds of things that really would light me up. And I think it's cool to be able to find ways in your everyday life to do things that light you up, but then also, like, find a way that your literal lifestyle amplifies that within you. And that's, like, that's beauty.
Yeah, and just being able to do it on greater scale.
Like. Yeah, exactly, because it's very cool when you can create something that not only impacts the one person that you've connected with, but multiple people after that. I mean, I've had conversations with people, you know, from seminars that I've spoken at or whatever, and I'm hearing about how they changed their lifestyle, and it's completely, you know, they're feeling so amazing, and they've taught their friends who are now experiencing the same benefits, and I'm sitting there just like, holy crap, this chain reaction is just the coolest thing.
As old Zig Ziglar would say, find a way to serve the many, for service to many leads to greatness, and you can have whatever you want if you just help enough people get what they want. Like, yeah, I like that.
I like it like that. Windows
please,
down.
please never do that.
Hey, it's a good song, is it? I can't even remember what song it is.
Don't think about the past.
Yeah, okay. Only think about the present.
Yep. Presents. You can give me some presents.
You can give me some presents. I love presents. Yeah. So, our message this week is really just to, you know, do enjoy the moment, be grateful for what you have, but
really work hard on being grateful for what you have as well. Like,
yeah,
like,
literally, just, when you wake up in the morning, what are three things you're grateful of? Boom, boom, boom. Think about them straight away every morning. That's what we do.
Not with that much enthusiasm in the morning.
I do. I'm always like, what are you grateful for? And you're like, and then I'm like, this.
I'm like, it's 3 a.m. Go back to sleep. No. But yeah, like, if you start creating a practice where you are consistently thinking about things that you are grateful for, you'll notice unbelievably that you end up having more things to be grateful for. You end up noticing more things to be grateful for, and you attract more things to be grateful for. Just as if you have a negative mindset and you're always expecting shitty things to happen, think of the person in your life who's always negative and always complaining on Facebook and always complaining about this, complaining about this. Why are shitty things always seeming to happen to them?
Exactly.
Because that's what they're
attracting. Like attracts like.
Yeah.
So we'll leave you with that message this week. I hope that you've taken something from this, and we'd love to hear your thoughts.
And I'd love to also know three things you guys are grateful for.
Yeah, so head over to our social media and let us know what you're grateful for. So head on over to our social media and we can keep the conversation going.
Thank you guys, and see you next week on
Truth and Tell
Podcast 99.1.
All right, I'm shutting you off from that now.
Please stop.
See ya!